This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run, 7:06 a.m. on Thursday, the 12th of May. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Kusu Chuang and Tan Chen Li. Let's first recap how global markets closed yesterday.
In the U.S., Dow down 1%, S&P 500 down 1.7%, Nasdaq down 3.2%, a lot of downs in the U.S. Asian markets, Nikkei up 0.2%, Hang Seng up 1%, Shanghai Composite up 0.8%, STI down 0.3%, FBM KLCI up 0.1%.
So we can see U.S. markets in the red, perhaps in relation to inflation numbers that came out yesterday. But for some thoughts on what's moving markets, we speak to Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence. Tony, good morning. Thanks as always for joining us. Now, U.S. markets have seen 5 weeks of declines. Do you think that there's still scope for further corrections?
It's really hard to call that, but I think for now, while we still see, say, the energy sector itself is still green, while kind of everything else is red, I think we won't have really full capitulation until we see the broad market red. So we've got to see some capitulation in energy before we can say that, yeah, we're here. So I don't know how far it has to go, but I think that we may see an uptick. But I think for now, while we see one sector that's broadly green, we can't necessarily say we've fallen where we need to go.
Yeah, Tony, given last night's inflation prints, how far behind the curve in fighting inflation do you think the Fed is? And do you think, I think more importantly, it's going to lose the possibility of getting a soft landing in the U.S. economy?
Yeah, you know, they should have started 6 months ago. They probably would have realistically started 3 months ago. Of course, they're late. They raised 50, as we all expected. They'll continue to raise 50 in June and July. The talk about 75, we don't believe is sincere talk. We think it's just trying to talk down markets. But, you know, I think what they'll do is raise by 50 basis points, start quantitative tightening. And then once we hit July, if inflation is still as intense as it is, then they'll reevaluate and see where they need to go. Something's going to have to break. Markets or employment or something is going to have to break before they slow down.
What about the economy then, Tony? What happens then? Do you get the soft landing or do you get a hard one?
Well, we already saw economic growth in Q1 as negative. And so I think the economy may already be there or close to it. So I think if they push too hard, yeah, one of the things that could break is the economy. And, of course, nobody wants that. And it's a midterm year, right? It's an election year. So certainly Joe Biden and the Democrats in D.C., they don't want to lose the House and the Senate. So if they break the economy, it will be taken out on Democrats in the midterms. So there's a lot of pressure on the Fed to balance a fine line.
Going back to the inflation number, have we seen, is this the peak of inflation or you're expecting worst?
Well, we did come off with the CPI slightly this month, right? And so, you know, whether we tick up or back, you know, a couple tenths of a point, I don't think it really matters that much. I think part of it has to do with energy prices, right? Real estate is starting to taper out a little bit, but it really has a lot to do with energy and commodity prices. If we see energy continue to spike, you know, a couple of months ago we saw crude at 130. If we were to start to see crude in that neighborhood and higher again, that becomes a real consideration. But that's part of the reason Yellen and the Fed are pushing the dollar up. It'll hurt people in emerging markets, but it will in the U.S. moderate commodity price inflation, especially energy inflation, if there's a stronger dollar.
Can we talk about employment, Tony? The U.S.'s April employment report showed a gain of 428,000 jobs, which is a drop in the unemployment rate to 3.6%, and it shows wage gains too. But some surveys highlight growing negative sentiment amongst businesses and consumers about the economy. So how do you reconcile the two different sets of outcomes? Why this disconnect?
Yeah, well, the unemployment rate is not, it's not a real number. I think what we have to look at is, because what the unemployment rate counts is active job seekers. And if people have been out of work for a long time, they get pushed out of that active job seeker number. So we're, the U.S. is still 3 million jobs short of what we were pre-COVID. So we see this low unemployment rate, but it's not necessarily a real number because many people are still out of the workforce. We have a tight workforce in places where people need jobs. So we're seeing some real extreme stories on both sides. I think until we start to see companies fully come back, meaning in the office or regular work schedule, these sorts of things, and until we start to see a normalization of expectations, I think productivity, I think people are underworking, which is why we have so many job openings. And until that work expectation is normalized, things are going to be fairly pessimistic. The small business surveys are pessimistic in terms of finding people. They're also pessimistic on having to raise prices. They don't want to have to raise prices, but because of cost concerns, they have to. So small businesses especially are feeling this pretty hard.
So, Tony, how are you advising clients and investors? Where does money find a safe haven in these volatile times?
It's really hard right now. A lot of what, you know, what's happening is people are just sitting on what they have. So a lot of what I'm hearing is, you know, unless you have to sell, you know, just wait. Of course, what we're seeing in commodities and especially energy, there are some real opportunities there. And, you know, the market volatility is just that. It's volatility. Things are shaking out. And again, until you have to undertake a transaction, you know, it's hard to encourage people to undertake a transaction and sell for a loss unless they really have to. Of course, if you're in one of these internet companies that isn't making money or something like that, or a tech company that isn't making money, you know, that was a risky transaction that someone went into on their own. But otherwise, you know, it's really hard to justify kind of action either way at this point.
Tony, thanks as always for the chat. That was Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence, giving us his take on the trends that he sees moving markets in the days and weeks to come. Volatility is certainly the theme of the moment.
Yeah. Look, I'm just thinking about EPF, right? And how are we going to bring this all home? I think right now, Malaysian assets are still pretty inured. I mean, the KLCI is still only down 0.74% on the year to date. The Nasdaq is down 27%. Just thinking in terms of returns to Malaysians and how EPF has been giving 5-6% the last few years, I wonder what 2022 returns are going to be like.
All right. Well, keep that KIV, that thought. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.